Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. It's good to be able to come out with the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done for sinners. We're a local congregation, we're a Scottish registered charity, and we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road. You'll come to the police station first, and opposite the police station, you can go up the hill there, and you'll come to Thornwood Primary School, and we're next door at the crossroads. Please come along. We meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m., and again in the early evening at 6 p.m. You're welcome to these services. And also we have a midweek prayer meeting. We meet on Wednesday at 7:30. And we would extend a warm welcome to everyone to come along where you might hear something more. Because as you're passing by here, you can only hear so much. We only hope here to plant a seed in your heart, something that will bear fruit. Because we know the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it's a great thing to hear God's Word. You know, many people will live, and they will die, and they will never hear about Christ. They'll never hear the Word of God read or proclaimed or explained to them. And we here in this country have many wonderful privileges, and that's one whereby we have the freedom to go to the house of God and to hear the Word of God being read and proclaimed, and to hear the gospel being brought to your attention. It is truly a wonderful blessing. And it's so sad today when many are despising this blessing, and they will not be found in the house of God, and they don't want anything to do with God. But one day, friends, whether we like it or not, we'll meet God. We'll have an audience with Him. That cannot be avoided. It will happen. It will happen the moment that we pass into eternity. And it will happen again on that great day the Bible calls the great day of judgment. And therefore it is futile not to consider the claims of Christ and to prepare yourself for that great and glorious day when you will stand before Him and give an account. The Bible has much to teach us. And it's so sad, friends, that many people despise the Bible. The Bible talks about the last days. Yes, friends, this world is not forever. We know it's been around for a long time. No one can tell you exactly how long, but it's around 6,000 years old. That we do know, at least. But the world is not eternal. The world has had a beginning, and this present world that we know shall have an end. And the Bible tells us about the days that will precede the end of this age. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as Timothy was a pastor in Ephesus, that's in modern-day Turkey, and he says to this young pastor, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous times shall come. We know there will be a rise of wickedness. We know there will be a great apostasy. We know there will be many turning away from the living God. We know there will be times of great violence and times of great amount of public sin. We know all these things. And the Bible tells us it will be like the days when the flood came, in the days of Noah, when the world was given over to wickedness. You know, God's verdict upon the days of Noah were that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was the Lord's verdict upon mankind. As it were, he looked down from heaven, and what did he see? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the face of the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not just his actions were evil, but his very thoughts, the very thoughts of his heart were all evil in the sight of God. And the Bible does not paint a very good picture of the heart of the modern man or woman. What does the Bible say about our hearts? How does it describe our hearts? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Telling us that we don't know our own hearts. We don't know the depths of depravity of our own hearts. We don't know these things. But God does. And God sees our hearts. And more than that, he not only sees our actions, and he not only hears our words, but God knows our thoughts. And this is important because we can sin by our actions, we can sin by our words, but we also sin by our thoughts. And that might be something new to you. You might not have considered that. You might think, for instance, like when the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You might think that's only talking about physical adultery. Well, of course, it does talk about physical adultery. But Jesus goes on to tell us in the Sermon on the Mount that it cares more about our hearts than what we do in our minds. It reminds us that we can commit adultery by our words. And it reminds us we can commit adultery in our hearts. If we lust after a man or a woman in our hearts, that is committing adultery. It's not physical adultery. It's not the act of adultery. But it is adultery as far as God is concerned. Because God demands truth in the inward parts. This is what Christianity is all about. It's about changing the heart. It's about changing the nature. And friends, this is too great a job for us. We cannot do this by ourselves. No, it's impossible for us. That's why we need the Lord Jesus, and we need him to give us a new heart. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because we're dead in trespasses and sins. We don't have the desire. We don't have the motivation. We don't have the will. We don't have the inclination to change. We're quite happy as we are. But friends, what the Bible tells us is that if we remain as we are, we're heading for a lost eternity. What does that mean? A lost eternity is to spend eternity away from the gracious presence of God. Now, none of us have reached that stage yet, because even if we're still in our sins and separated from God, we still live under his gracious care and protection and provision. God is one who gives us everything that we've had. He gives us the water we drink. He gives us the air we breathe. He sustains our lives. Our lives are in his hands. Day after day, moment after moment, from the very time of our conception to the day of our death, God has been gracious towards us. But if we die in our sins, we will be separated from God's gracious presence forever. And that will be in a certain place. It will be in a place that the Bible calls hell. We don't like to think upon these things. We'd rather bury our heads in the sand, and we don't want to consider the claims of Christ. And many people delude themselves and say that God is a God of love. Well, that's true, but it's not the whole truth. God is also a God of love. Yes, that's true. But He's a God of holiness. He's a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness. And He's a God that will deal with sin. And we see that primarily when we go to the cross, when we see what happened to His only begotten Son, how He was punished in the room and in the place of sinners. There He suffered the pains of hell, not because He was a sinner, because He was sinless. He was pure. The verse in the Bible says to us, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And that's telling us that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon Himself the sins of mankind and suffered in their room and in their place. And this is who we need. This is who we need to save us. We cannot save ourselves. And as I said to you, the Bible talks about the last days. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we in the last days? Well, yes, we are in the last days. But are we in the last of the last days? That's the question. Because the last days began when Jesus first came. At His first coming, that was the beginning of the last days. But are we at the end of the last days? Or are we at the beginning of the end of the last days? Because we're living, surely, in perilous times. We're living in diabolically wicked times. Paul goes on to talk about these times. And one of the things about these times he describes the people of the last days as lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I put it to you this afternoon, if you soberly consider that statement, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, are we at that position today? Is it not true, friends, that today in our own society here in Scotland, and let's be particular, in Glasgow on Friday the 8th of July 2022, can it be said of us that we are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? Well, that's a mark of the last days. You will find that people will be taken up with pleasure. Not too far away from here, what do we have that's going on today, tomorrow, and over the Lord's Day? What is it? It's a music festival. What will we find at the music festival? We will find lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a mark of the last days. I would ask those who are heading off to the music festival, what happens when the festival's over? What happens when the party's over? When all the singing, when all the dancing, when all the drinking, when all the other excesses are finished, what will happen? You'll still have the same problems. You'll still have the same guilty conscience. You'll still be estranged and separated from God. And what you'll be longing for is the next music festival or the next round of entertainment. Is there not more to life than this, friends? Is there not more to life than going there and embracing that lifestyle? You know, friends, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And there is real pleasure and enjoyment in serving the one true and the living God. There is satisfaction. Why is there satisfaction? Well, you have satisfaction because your sins are forgiven. You're right with God. What a pleasure it is to have your conscience cleansed, to have a peaceful conscience, to know that if you pass into eternity today, you'll be with Christ. And you'll be in heaven. And you'll be there forever and forever. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid the price of my sin. He has suffered in my room and in my stead. He has done something for me that no other could do. He has come. He has stood in my place. I deserve to die. I was a sinner, the chief of sinners, but God showed His mercy to me. And friends, because He has shown His mercy to me and countless others, is it any surprise then that we don't keep this message to ourselves? Do you not think it would be strange that if we have found how we can have a peaceful conscience and how we can be sure for time and for eternity, that we should keep this message to ourselves? You would think me a very strange individual if I would do something like that. Is it not then incumbent upon me to go out to fellow men and women and to tell them there's a better way? What is that way? That way is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He Himself did say to us in His Word, read it for yourselves, friends. You'll find it in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What was He saying there? Well, He was saying quite categorically and dogmatically, no matter how unpolitically correct it was, He was saying, no one will get to heaven unless they come by the Lord Jesus. He is the one who must take you. No one will ever be in heaven unless they are found in Christ. And that tells us about the exclusiveness of the Lord Jesus. He is the only Savior, for there is one mediator. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Christ is absolutely unique. And if you're looking for anyone else to save you, if you're following any other religion or looking at any other religious person or guru, friends, you need to wake up. You need to realize it will all end in disappointment, because Christ and Christ alone can save. He's the only one that suffered and died. And He's the only one who can take you to heaven. Him and Him alone. We are told about the disciples. You know, the disciples were ones who followed Him for about 3 years. And once He was crucified, they thought it was all over. And when they were told that Christ had risen, they wouldn't believe Him. They didn't believe until they saw Him with their own eyes. And then, when they saw Christ, that He indeed was alive, you couldn't keep them back. They went forth and they preached the gospel wherever they went. And the gospel was, they preached Jesus and the resurrection. And within a few hundred years, that message turned the ancient world upside down. And by the grace of God, this message had come to Europe, and it came to Scotland, and it came to Glasgow, and it transformed this part of the world. So that today, we know things are changing. We're not going to deny that. But this part of the world...
Can I say something to me?
You can say what you like, sir.
Follow... Wait, can I say it?
No.
How?
Why should I give a mic to you? Do you know, friends, because this nation has been saturated with Christianity and it has been transformed by Christianity. Look at the freedoms we have today. Go back to who began to build hospitals. Was it the atheists that built hospitals? No, no. Was it the atheists that built hospices? No, no. Was it the atheists that began to teach people in schools and build universities? Was it the atheists? No, no. It was Christians. You can go back to all of these things and you will recognize that all these good things that we enjoy, they have come to us because men were transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they in turn went out and they began to improve society. And what do we find today? We find today that society is degenerating. Why is it degenerating? Because people are turning their backs upon Christianity. And what they are basically saying to God is, they are shaking their fist against God. And what is happening to us? We are finding that our society is degenerating. You can just look at our parliaments. It doesn't matter whether it be the Scottish Parliament or the UK Parliament. Look at the state of our governments. Can you trust any of your politicians? It doesn't matter what party you support. Can you trust them? No, you can't trust them. Why? Because they have abandoned God. They've taken God out of the parliament. They've taken God out of the schools. And we have chaos as a result. But we come out this afternoon and we want to bring you the good news of the Christian gospel and to remind you there is a way back to God. And the only way to come back to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life for ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle Peter, I should say, the one who denied the Lord Jesus. But when he was restored, and when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, friends, he went out and he preached the gospel. And he said, before all opposition, it didn't matter who they were, neither is there salvation found in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby ye must be saved. You cannot save yourselves. Religion cannot save you. Church going cannot save you. Being charitable and being moral and upright, being a good neighbor, a good father, a good mother, a good son, or a good daughter, or a good citizen, none of these things, good as they are, can save you. Why? Because we've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of this, we need to be saved by another. And this is what we find so, so offensive. Modern man, with all his computer technology and all his technological advances, he has to realize that someone else must save him. And that person is Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? One said, well, blessed be God, something glorious, something wonderful, something divine has come out of Nazareth. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lion from the tribe of Judah, the Bible describes him. The one who is from everlasting to everlasting, whose origins have been of old. He came at a time, at a predetermined time. He came, suffered, and died in order that we would be able to proclaim a gospel to you this afternoon. And you know, people dismiss the Bible, but the Bible is wonderfully up to date. It talks about the things that are facing society today. And one of the things it says to our society today is, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's an exhortation to the young, And how many young people have we seen today passing by on the way to a music festival? And the Word of God says to you today, young person, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, Solomon, who wrote these words under the inspiration of the Spirit, he's telling young people, come, give your life to the Lord Jesus now. Give the best days of your life not to sin, not to Satan, not to yourself, not to the world, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who alone can save you. Because youth will soon disappear. And then it will be old age or middle age and then old age. It will soon come. I know some are shaking their heads, but you know, to shake your head at these things is really to bury your head in the sand. The Bible's bang up the date. It's telling us the truth that youth and beauty and all of these things only last for a short period of time. And middle age comes, and old age comes, and life gets more difficult. And soon, old age, what happens then? It's into eternity. And what's going to happen at eternity? Where will we spend eternity? This is something that we need to consider. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, we're hearing something about the gospel. You might hear a line. You might hear a verse about the gospel. And you might say to yourself, well, I'll consider it. And maybe you're even going as far as to say, well, maybe that man is talking some sense. And maybe I should consider the claims of the Lord Jesus. But what are you saying? You're saying, I'll consider it tomorrow. You don't know if you'll have tomorrow. You don't know these things. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Yes.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And that applies to all of us, young or old. Death is no respecter of persons. The grim reaper will come whether you like it or not. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, you can have an appointment in your diary. You can have an appointment with a doctor or a hospital appointment, and you might be able to postpone it and rearrange it.
Here we go.
But friends, you cannot rearrange this appointment. It is appointed. You didn't appoint your birth. And don't think for one moment that you can appoint the day of your death. It is appointed unto man once to die. And God, who has given life, will take life in His own time. And therefore you are urged today, now, to consider the claims of Christ. For today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. That's what the devil will say to you, tomorrow. But we're not promised tomorrows. And that's why the psalmist would tell you and me this afternoon, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So teach us to number our days. Not number our years, but number our days, because life is very short. Life is short. Death is certain. Sin is the problem. Christ is the cure. If you remember anything about today, friends, remember this. Life is short. It's very, very short. Even the longest living person, his life is short in comparison to eternity. We cannot calculate eternity. We cannot even comprehend an eternity where life goes on and on and on and on forever and ever. We can't comprehend that. What then is 100 years in comparison with eternity? It is but nothing. And therefore, even the longest living person's life is but short. Life is short. And life is more than a music festival. Or life is more than a drinking party. Or life is more than entertainment. And life is more than sport or pleasure or money or wealth or education or whatever. There's more to life. And life is very short, and therefore we are to make every opportunity to prepare for eternity. And today is the day. Now is the time. And death indeed is certain. None of us can avoid it. Yes, we might avoid talking about it, and we might avoid thinking about it, but it will come. And therefore we are to be ready. And we have a problem. And the problem is sin. Sin is the problem. And the only way that sin can be dealt with is through Jesus Christ. He's the one who came and suffered and died in the room and place of sinners. And through Him we have hope, because when we believe upon Him, our sins are forgiven. Yes, forgiven. There's no use in going to a priest to have your sins forgiven and confess before him. He cannot forgive your sins. He cannot even forgive his own sins. You must go to the Lord Jesus. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. We're going to take a short break to recharge our batteries, and may God bless His Word.